give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's up, Philly? This is Tyrese Maxey of the Philadelphia 76ers. Now it's time to go in the post with Devon Gibbons on your home for 76ers basketball, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome here in the post on this Monday night. Devon Gibbons with you. Sixers fall by 10, 119-109. We open up the phone line, 610-632-0975. Tough one. After being up 21, looked like they were going to cruise to their eighth consecutive victory. The Orlando Magic had other plans, and they come back to defeat the 76ers on this Monday night to snap that seven-game winning streak as they start the two-game series beginning this week. Again, final two games of the four-game homestand, and they drop this one, a tough one, to the Magic, who never quit. They do not quit. They keep going. As Tom McGinnis mentioned during the broadcast, they give it, they bring it, they keep bringing it, no matter what the score is, whether they are up, whether they're trailing. They're well coached by Jamal Mosley. They have a lot of young talent that they're still putting together of how to use them, learning how to win in this NBA, and they are figuring it out. They've defeated the Boston Celtics three times so far this season, and they take one here from the Sixers with all their players on the floor, because when they had their two-game series hosting the Sixers in November on the 25th and 27th, while there was a blowout for the second game, 133-103, the first one was close, but no Joel Embiid, James Harden, or Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton, and Tobias Harris starred in those two games, getting a lot of help overall. Five and six players in double figures over those two games, respectively. And tonight, they really struggled. The zone defense was there for the Sixers, but aggressiveness, whatever one you want to say, for the Orlando Magic was on full display, while the 76ers simply did not. A lot of times I saw, and I think I heard Doc Rivers mention this, where I saw a few times where Embiid specifically, Harden also, where they were, instead of just simply going for the bucket, they were too worried about, again, getting the contact and not just simply securing the bucket first, drawing the contact second. And that's something that, look, if you're going to play this way, if you're going to be this type of team that is one of the best in the NBA, a championship contender, don't search for the fouls. And B gets away with it so much because he's so skilled and he knows how to use it. And they have no choice, the players, but to reach in and try to swipe at the ball. Well, tonight, they were successful. They were getting their hands on those basketballs quite a bit as he led the game with six turnovers by the big fella tonight. So 30 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. You never know how things could have gone had they had those shot attempts. Now, the Orlando Magic were plus 14 in field goal attempted because, again, 19 turnovers for the 76ers. You cut that six down from Embiid and live with it two or three like the rest of his teammates. And, all right, yeah, six is still high, but the Sixers were also able to score off of Orlando's mistakes with their 17 points off of their 10 turnovers. But when you give them a live ball turnovers and they're going the other way, your back turned, you're searching for the call, you're putting your hands up for those foul calls. The other way, you're going to have it, there's going to be a disadvantage at that point, and it's not going to work out well for you in that way, especially when the momentum shifts the way that it can and did tonight. And we saw the result of it as the Sixers fell here to the Orlando Magic, 119-109. They took this one for granted. They looked at this team. They jumped on them early. And I remember very early, very, very early, while they did get up 21, very, very early, though, in the beginning parts of the game, they were up 8-0. But they had so many good looks, a couple of layups, that they just missed. And while you can't make all of them, I'm very aware of that. I thought when they were up 8-0, not going to say it should have been 18-0, but at least it should have been 12-0 there. Now, 2 points is 2 points. I know they lost by 10, but you don't know how things will then change it. And I'll give Jamal Mosley credit, too, because third quarter, we're in here, and Orlando is down 10 after two. The Sixers come right out and they go up 67-52. And I looked at Tom Alvord and I said, Tom, if DeAnthony Melton makes this three-pointer, they have to call a timeout. He made the three-pointer. Jamal Mosley did not call the timeout. They then proceeded to go on a run of their own to cut the lead again and found their way at that point, chipping away once again. And I thought Jamal Mosley was crazy. I'm like, dude, call a timeout, because they then missed the next opportunity there. They missed the next opportunity down the other end in Orlando. The Sixers came down again and had a shot attempt. Missed that one, and then Orlando came down and scored. But that was an opportunity that I thought that was going to be a timeout after that make by DeAnthony Melton on a three-pointer in transition. Orlando's going to call a timeout. Just not their night. Just not their night. And it went the other way. I'll also point out that when Bobo and Mo Bamba, specifically, Mo Bamba came in and played 5 minutes and 37 seconds because Wendell Carter Jr., who started at the 5 tonight, had 12 points and 9 rebounds in his 20 minutes and 37 seconds, but he got into foul trouble, and Mo Bamba came in, and when he did, he came in and he gave some good minutes in that 5:37 of that second quarter, making those 5 points. That was just, you know, good 5 points that they needed to, again, chip away after being down 21 and knocking that down and getting it ultimately to 10 at the break. Banchero was doing what Banchero was doing. But with you not getting anything from Wendell Carter Jr. because he's in foul trouble, only playing 2 minutes and 16 seconds, and at the half, he had his 3 personal fouls, so you had to get him out. He had 2 in the first, 1 in the second. Mosley had to go to Mo Bamba, and he did, and he gave him good minutes. He tried Jonathan Isaac. That wasn't really working. Okay, let's try something different. Bobo plays 6 minutes and 6 seconds. He's not scoring, but let's try something else. Mo Bamba, 5:37, 2, plus, you know, one of those two is a three-pointer, and he has those 5 points with a rebound and a steal to also go the other way for Orlando, and those little things just simply help shift and turn a game as the momentum started to go for the visitors. And while they're not scared, they've been on the road before. They've, as I mentioned, beat Boston in a 2-game series in Boston at TD Garden. So they are not afraid. They keep going. They keep playing. Very well coached. They believe in themselves. They have that confidence that you want from young players. Sometimes, as Tom was talking about, not only Mo Wagner, who can be an irritant and can be annoying out there on the floor. There are plenty of those types of players in the league that you're playing against them and you can't stand them. They're just, please stop. Why are you talking to the bench? Yes, you are a very talented player, but you're down by 17. What are you chirping at the bench for? The other one for me on this team, because he is that good, is Banchero. He's one of those guys that I look at him and I recognize the talent at Duke, and I knew he was that good and he had the potential to be the number one pick, although I thought it would be Jabari Smith as we were leading into the draft. But Banchero, he was the right pick, and that guy has super confidence. I'm not going to say it's a rational confidence because he's that good as the number one overall pick. He might be their best player on the team, and he certainly turned it up in the second and third quarters to help his team really get into a different direction and feel like they can come back and get the win. And he was barking at the bench after a three-pointer right in front of their bucket. I mean, their bench. He made another bucket. He turned, had to call timeout. He made another basket, turned to the crowd. That was late in the game, and said, send their you-know-what home. Get them out of here, because they found their way back and once again took the lead in the fourth quarter and never gave it up. So they have some players that you like. They have some really young, talented players that are going to be good for many years. They have a couple of veterans that they mix in with Gary Harris. Terrence Ross is there, but he was the DMP. Who knows what happens with him, with his future, with the Orlando Magic. A lot of teams can use shooting as we approach the trade deadline. And then you have some of the others like Mo Bamba, who has fell out of the lineup there. RJ Hampton, not in DMP tonight. Coach's decision. So we'll see with them. And one thing I think I know for sure is that, and I'm not ignoring Franz Wagner, because he's also very talented. Once again, starter there, second-year player, starter for the Magic, had 12 points at the break and overall for the night, finished with 19. They have the Sixers' attention, in my opinion, or they should, when they lace them up once again on Wednesday for the final game of the four-game homestand and the final game of this two-game series. So that's where we are. We got to take a quick, you know what, let's take a phone call to start things off as the guys are leaving the arena and want to jump in and talk both Sixers and Eagles. 610-632-0975. We'll discuss both. Not going to ignore the Eagles. How can you when your team is going to the Super Bowl after a big victory over the 49ers, 31-17? Again, had a chance to be there with, you know, lucky to have the friends that I have to allow me to hang out with them. And always enjoyed it all season. And a big, big way to cap it off at the game yesterday, securing the spot for the NFC in the Super Bowl, 31-17. So we'll talk about all of that tonight. 610-632-0975 as we go until midnight. Let's get Jamal in Jersey here. Tip things off here in the post on 97.5. What's up, Jamal? How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing, Devon?
Pretty good, man. Tough loss, though. I was a little disappointed in this one.
Yeah, I was, too. I think Doc should have called a timeout. What was it, midway through the second? When
okay.
They started making that run?
Midway through the second when Orlando started turning the corner? Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I think Doc should have called a timeout. He let it play out. And I think that was a little bit of bad coaching. And then, again, Orlando was, they were the more aggressive team.
Now, here's my counter to the second quarter. While you identified that one, I don't remember the specifics about it, but while you identify that one, I would go with and counter and say, well, they had the run to start the third quarter where they went back up by 15. And again, when I looked at Tom Alvord after Anthony Melton hit the three, I'm like, oh, timeout Orlando, because the Sixers went into the locker room, Doc got into them, and all is going to be fine. And they kept going. They kept going. The Sixers had the opportunity. Next thing you know, Orlando goes on a 14-3 run to cut the lead to 6. So that would be my counter to that one on this night.
Well, we got outplayed.
We definitely agree on that.
We got outplayed. But I spoke to you on Wednesday. I don't know if you remember before. Went on your break or whatever.
Yep.
We was talking about the Eagles and the 49ers.
Yes, sir.
And I said 31-20, but we won 31-7. And it was an ugly win. It was an ugly win, but it was pure domination.
Guess what, man? You know what counts at this point of the season when you have ugliness in these wins? The W.
Yes.
You just get it because I don't care when we look back in the end. If they win the Super Bowl and they win an ugly game 17-12, it doesn't matter to me as long as they get that W. And they did a lot of good things, Ma, in that game yesterday to secure that victory and head to the Super Bowl.
Yes, we did, brother. But I'm going to keep listening, man. You have a good night, brother.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. You too. And yes, again, we will keep talking about the Birds. I see Malik is checking in. He's going to talk about the Birds in Kansas City, how he feels about the game. Scott is leaving the center, wants to talk about the brand of basketball. Can't wait to hear that. And everybody else, 610-632-0975. We'll get Tom's thoughts on everything. He did the post-game show last night following the Eagles with Connor Thomas. We'll get his thoughts on the game tonight. Kind of recap what he felt with the Eagles advancing to the Super Bowl as well. One more time, the phone numbers, 610-632-0975. We come back, we start with Scott, we get to Malik and everybody else. Right here in the post, Sixers fall by 10, 119-109. Snap their 7-game win streak on a football Monday. And on the Fanatic, that is presented by Pierce Phelps. Whatever it takes, go to nopaybryant.com.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Seven, five, The Fanatic.
All right, 1033-97.5, the Fanatic 610-632-0975. We're in the post after the Sixers fall by 10, 119-109. Talking birds as well, as my man Ray on Twitter, Henlon Rayon, says it was 31-7 Eagles, not 31-17. I didn't realize I said 17. Sometimes when you talk too fast, it just comes out that way. But I appreciate Ray correcting me there to make sure that I clean that one up. 31-7. Birds dominate the San Francisco 49ers to advance to the Super Bowl. That will be in a couple of weeks on the 12th. And, boy, we got a long 2 weeks of having to wait for this one to come around on the 12th. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Eagles. I prefer this versus the alternative, which is done yesterday. And, you know, I'll take this. And we're going to get to Malik in a second because he wants to talk about the upcoming Super Bowl and what they could do in there, the Eagles against the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll get to Tom Alvord. We appreciate Ray Dunn for helping out as well as he wrapped things up and Tom Alvord hangs out. And Leftovers, 11:45. We got Tom Alvord start our week off on this Monday with Leftovers. By the way, our schedule tomorrow will be 8 o'clock following Inside the Birds. So we'll go from 8 to midnight on Tuesday night, talking, of course, discussing a lot of Eagles as they took care of business 31-7 over the visiting San Francisco 49ers. And it's so fun sitting there watching them just lose. You just feel comfortable. No matter where you were, you just felt comfortable with how things were playing out in the game after a while, especially when it was just that they scored to put themselves up 14-7, and then they get the ball right back again. It was great. It was great. And I heard a lot of the post game with Tom and Connor last night, so we'll get some of his thoughts and get everybody else's here as we go in the post with the Sixers and extended in the post with the Eagles as we talk about things right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, let's go back to the phone. Scott is leaving the game, wants to talk a little Sixers after tonight's loss right here in the post. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, Devon, how are you?
I'm pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I'll make it through. I'm going to try and give you a lot to chew on here if I can. So I'm going to give you a little background. So I'm 52 years old. I've watched the Sixers basketball in general. My first memories are about 5-6 years old. So that just goes to show what I've seen over all these years in this game, in this sport. Not the same sport as it was.
Now, you said 52?
I'm 52 now.
Okay, all right.
What I've seen in the past 20 years, even, isn't the same. This game is, it's unwatchable. It's unwatchable. The referees, and I get it. I understand contracts. The money is nothing like it was 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. But I will say the game is unwatchable, and it's, you know, it's starting to get through to all the sports. Basketball's the worst. The refereeing is substandard, subpar, game after game. It's terrible. You could blow a, just like they say in football, you can call a holding on any play. Mm-hmm. That whistle is blown every time the players are up and down the court. It doesn't matter what side. So that's a big problem with this game today. Okay. Now, tonight's game. When the Sixers lose, they lose the same every time. It's Harden driving to the backboard, tucking that basketball under his beard, trying for a layup, missing it, looking for a foul, and he doesn't get it. It's Embiid not paying attention, somebody coming up behind him, swatting the ball out of his hands because he holds the ball too low. It's the turnovers are ridiculous. It's the outside shooting that is inconsistent. They don't make changes quick enough. They see somebody's got the hot hand, they don't keep going to them enough. You know, nobody had the hot hand tonight. They lost their edge before half. Mm. When they were up by 17 at one point and then only up by 10 at half.
Yep.
I mean, it was it was ridiculous. But, I mean, I think people need to pay attention to how they lose. It's the same every time. You can blame coaching, too, because Doc, and I love Doc. Doc, he's always been a hero of mine, and I was a Philly fan. But I always loved Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, I think, is a great coach. He doesn't make substitutions at the right time. You heard him say in the post-game press conference, Thybulle had a nice game. He had 10 points. He had two steals.
Yes.
Yet he's got Tucker in there who had no points and four fouls. So, you know, if you're going to try to pressure a team, and I don't care what anybody says, Orlando Magic, at least tonight, I mean, look, they're not one of the lower half teams for a reason. They're not good. And they are not as good as the Sixers. The Sixers played uninspired, uncaring. And that's how they lose every game.
Yes.
I definitely want to hear your input on everything I said.
Well,
I'm gonna hang up. I'm gonna let you
Scott,
go.
Scott, have a great rest of your night, man. And
you too, buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. If James Harden is able to hide the basketball when he drives to the basket in his beard, that would be a really cool trick of how to find an easy bucket or a foul or whatever advantage that would be. I don't even know what that advantage would be, but that would be pretty cool. I understand where you're coming from, though. Yes, he does complain a lot when things don't go his way on that end. He is one that is very notorious of, I call the palms up. I think we might start a segment every night of palms up in basketball just because of who did it the most that particular night. James is one who is guilty of that for sure. First, I'll start with the other part of the game of basketball today. I'm 45, so Scott has me by 7 years. I've seen a lot. He's seen more in that regard. I still like this brand of basketball. It's not what I grew up on, of course, but I also understand that things change, and when they change, you do adapt to some things, and some things you don't like, some you wish would stay the same. There are things to it, but in the end, I still like the brand overall and think it is a pretty good product. Yes, it can drive me crazy because when you grow up and you learn, when you're in transition, what do? Fill the two lanes on the outside while the man is in the middle of the floor with the basketball in transition, and you go to the basket for a layup. It's different now, and it has been different for the last couple of seasons where I'm used to it. With the three-pointers now, instead of going to the basket, you flare out to an open spot along the three-point line to open up the floor a bit for your ball handler to make a decision on what to do with the basketball and where to go. It was a tough loss. It was an ugly loss. And as ugly as it was, I should have said to Scott so he can at least have a rebuttal to it. It's ugly, yes, and I didn't like it. However, I do know that they were just on a 7-game winning streak, and this one is not the end of the world. I wanted to see something totally different because I wanted to see them go on a 9-game win streak like they had earlier in the year when they went on the 8-game, just a few weeks ago. 8-game streak. You take a 9-game winning streak and go into San Antonio on Friday where I think you extend that one to 10, possibly going against that team. And then you have New York coming up here shortly. So, another tough matchup, but compile these wins, as Tom McGinnis and I always talk about. Compile the wins because of the mere fact that you are right there with Boston and Milwaukee, who are off tonight. So with that, you take advantage of that situation and pick up a half a game on both of those teams. Half a game behind Boston, where you're now a game and a half back, or 2 games back, fully. And then with the Milwaukee Bucks, you have a full game on them because they were, in fact, on the a half game on them because they were off because you two were tied 2.5 games back of the Boston Celtics. So for that reason, and then the other part of while teams know how good you are, like Orlando coming in where they're the inferior opponent, they know how good you are. They know how good you are. But they think that they can go out there and compete. They don't care who's opposite them. They want to still try to get the win. They know they're going to be in the playoffs, but they're also trying to learn how to do things in the league. I want the Sixers to be, and while we have so many games to play, I want to see them as I talk about them going on that 9, 10, 11-game win streak where the opponent is fearful. And you can see it on them. You can see it in their body language of what is happening. I want to see them punish teams like this, let's say New York upcoming, the Charlotte Hornets. Thank you, Tom. But even the good teams that they have on their schedule that's upcoming, and you're saying, yeah, this is another test. Guess what? I'm not worried. You got Orlando, San Antonio, and then as I talked about, New York, Boston, New York, Brooklyn. Three of those four are on the road. One in New York, one here in Philadelphia, the one in Boston, and then the other in Brooklyn. And while they'll come back for a five-game homestand, wrapped around the All-Star break, these wins are good. These wins are important to go into New York on Sunday evening, Boston on that Wednesday, and then Friday back here in Philadelphia before the Super Bowl against the Knicks, followed by, because that's a back-to-back here in New York, for New York, Saturday in Brooklyn to take on the Nets. I want to see them stomp these teams where they can extend it. It's not the end of the world, though, because we know this is the one thing we do know and we understand about the league. They all do it. So as good as Boston is, they just came off of a 3-game losing streak, right? They started up a new winning streak, but there was a time where Boston was on a bad roll there. They've won 7 of their last 10. But I remember, they beat the Lakers 125-121 in that game, controversial game on Saturday, I think it was. I think it was Saturday or Sunday. And before that, they lost 3 games in a row, snapping that win streak that they had. They lost to Orlando, 113-98, at Miami, and home by 3 to New York. So we know that all teams do this. Now, while all teams do this and that's their problem and what we need to worry about is what's going on here, we know that it is a trend in the league that they all do it. And the Sixers just have to bounce back against the same team on Wednesday. We'll see what they do. 610-632-0975. Talking Birds as well as we're in the post following Sixers 10-point loss, 119-109, but also the thrill of the 31-7. Victory over the San Francisco 49ers. I'm looking at the schedule and seeing San Antonio on Friday for the Sixers. The San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, yesterday, at Lincoln Financial Field, wrapping up all games played at the Link for the 22 season. And they now head to the Super Bowl. They head to Arizona. It's going to be fun out there. It's going to be a great time out there. Oh, man, I know Philadelphia is going to represent very well out there in Arizona. Let's go to Malik on the cell here next in the post, right here on 97.5. What's up, Malik?
What's going on, Devon? First, I want to make the Eagles and Sixers point.
Absolutely.
Okay, and they're going to kind of parallel a little bit. But first, man, I thank you, brother, and 97 for being our therapy. Much needed therapy because you know how we Philly fans love our sports team. Now, let me just make... regarding the Sixers real quick, right? I think a lot of fans right now, as concerning Philly, man, the Sixers, they don't instill confidence in us because this team, I believe, is just not as poorly constructed. I mean, they get on this ride, they get on this run, but you don't have this confidence that this team is just going to blow teams away. Every time I watch the game, I feel nervous about this team because I just think they're just missing certain pieces. And when you parallel that to the Eagles from the beginning this year, I actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl before the season started. I thought that Jalen Hurts had a lot of poise and a lot of people was down on him. But I thought because he had poise that he was a player who was going to learn. And he was going to learn and he was going to play better. But the Eagles instill the confidence in you. Whenever you watch the Eagles play, you just feel as though that they're going to win the game. and they're going to win the game consistently. Speaking of the Super Bowl, I got the Eagles winning that 42-21. I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs defense will not get any stops, pretty much. The Eagles going to steamroll them.
42-21, wow.
42-21. I believe that the Eagles going to score
that down
on
right now.
Almost every possession, because they won't be able to, they'll be able to run the ball and throw the ball against this weak Kansas City's defense. I'll give Kansas City a few touchdowns. That roster is constructed greatly. Kudos to Howie Roseman. Daryl Morey, please pull up a chair. Take some notes from Howie Roseman. You've been in your profession, Daryl Morey, for a longer than Howie Roseman's been in his profession in terms of constructing a team, because I know he's done other things with the organization. Look what this guy has done in constructing a team, tearing it down and then rebuilding it and going back to another Super Bowl. So I say that the Eagles have more the fans have more confidence in the Eagles organization and the Eagles players. They have the right players.
Well, I mean, look, and right, I think it helps that they won the Super Bowl 5 years ago. Howie Roseman was on the chopping block just last season, where people wanted him out because of the moves that he made in that regard. And the same thing for Nick Sirianni. I understand what they've done over their last couple of years, but winning number one with the Super Bowl, but then also a few more. But there were also there's also been a lot of concern with the Eagles because of Nick Sirianni. Definitely Jonathan Gannon all year long. I've been trying to stand up for Jonathan Gannon all season long.
Fans was overreacting, man, because now you got.
Well, if you say you can say it's overreacting, but it's also the same thing. Whether it's overreaction or not, their overreaction goes with, to your point of having the faith and the trust in the Eagles. That's not complete faith in the trust in the Eagles when you have one of the best defenses, and they putting up the numbers. Say it again.
They were 14-1. Where was, I don't understand the concern. I think people was being overly critical of Gannon. Sirianni didn't get a fair shot.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just coming back to your point of where that ultimate confidence was, as you put the parallels of the Sixers and the Eagles. Leek, sitting here, I'm telling you, and you listen. So you, like you said, it's a therapy, because a lot of times the therapy is, hey guys, calm down. They were 13-1. So that's what I'm saying. So yes, but as soon as a loss happens, you get the same thing for the Eagles as you get here with the Sixers. They lose one game after a 7-game winning streak, a great win on Saturday, beat Brooklyn on Wednesday. And the calls that we get are not, hey, everything is cool. It's no, see, this is why this team can't win. You know what I'm saying?
But Devon, I know that you feel much better about the Eagles roster, even moving forward, than the Sixers.
Yeah.
Because they just have parts, man, like P.J. Tucker. They too small. I don't think even with them winning this little winning streak, it's fool's gold to me, because we care about the playoffs. We've seen this happen before with the Sixers' regular season success, getting everybody all
yes,
hyped up.
Yes.
But I think this year, teams is not going for the banana in the tailpipe with this team.
I tell you what, before tonight, in the last 20 to 24 that they won, 20 wins in 24 games, I'm telling you, Leek, people were on board saying, okay, we got two parade possibilities with the Phillies and the Eagles, and I'm telling you, people are already talking about, watch out for the Sixers in June to have the third one. So I'm just telling you what I hear when I'm talking to people.
What do you feel, Devon?
As far as the Sixers go?
Yeah.
I honestly feel like right now they will get out of the Eastern Conference. I mean, not the Eastern Conference. They will get past the second round. But I've also said this. I disagree with you about Daryl Morey, because I do like Daryl Morey. I don't always agree with everything, but I do like the moves that he makes. I think that I want to see another defensive big behind him be for when he comes off the floor, where you can offset Harrell's scores. There's too many points in the paint when he's off the floor. You know what I'm saying? So I would like to see that, or possibly leak an extra wing, and then maybe that will put me over the top of, because I do want to see them play Boston. They got two coming up with Boston, and I can't wait to see them play Boston these upcoming times here, because that's going to tell a lot of the story of what you're talking about. Hey, Leak, we got to go, man. We got to hit a break. Great talking to you, man. I got your score written down, 42-21 Birds in the Super Bowl.
42-21, book it.
Make sure we talk after the bowl, man. Thanks.
I will.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, I like Daryl Morey, and I think Daryl Morey does a good job. I think everybody knows I'm a fan of Elton Brand and what he does in assisting here when it comes to Daryl Morey. I don't know Daryl Morey as much as I know Elton Brand, and just because I know Elton Brand doesn't mean I won't be critical of, and it's easy to talk to him too, so it's not like I can be like, Elton, I just didn't like, I don't understand that move. Can you explain it? Daryl Morey's open that way in discussing him. I have no problem with Morey. Yes, I do want another wing and or a big man. That could be a trade deadline thing, which is on the 9th, next Thursday. Not this Thursday, next Thursday, before the Super Bowl. And then the buyout period, the veteran buyout period, where there may be someone there available. Now, the way Matisse Thybulle played with the 10 points and aggressively looking for his, I don't know that he will continue to do that, because he hasn't shown us enough that that's going to be his trajectory, where we're going to see it every week, every night, that he's looking for a shot. Yes, he's taking open threes and he's confidently taking them. They haven't fallen at a great clip. He's made his fair share. Sometimes they fall when you really want them to, and the other times they don't fall when you really want them to, because that's not who he is. He has to develop that confidence. He has to make those shots for the team. I would like to see another wing because of how Daniel House has fallen out of the rotation. Maybe someone as athletic, or not, maybe even a little more athletic than Daniel House, where we can count on him to come into the games and help out in closing things out. A big man, as I mentioned, just to come in and give those extra minutes because of the mere fact that Montrezl Harrell, while he'll have his defensive spurts, he's not a defensive-minded player. His offense is fantastic, but there will be too many points in the paint where leads are, if they're not extended, they're cut dramatically when Embiid is off the floor and they need someone else to be able to help protect the paint. If they don't believe that Paul Reed is that person, I would like to see them identify that. That's me. But I still believe with what they have, if they are healthy and if they're not partying after the Eagles' victory like yesterday and partying after their victory on Saturday. I don't know that they did, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a high there that I think personally was mixed in there a little bit also. And maybe once they got up big and they were unable to extend the things extend the lead past the 21, where we thought it should have been 30 at some point, that while you give Orlando credit, you also want to look at the Sixers and say, man, you should have had them by 30. But I also understand that sometimes things happen. You enjoy yourself after a big win, and maybe that carries over to the next day. So, all right, we come back on the other side. We'll get Tom Alvord's thoughts on this game, see where he is. We'll talk about the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs upcoming, but also flashback, of course, to Sunday and the 49ers game. Malik already has them 42-21. That's a lot of points, so we'll get Tom's thoughts on that as we – it's impossible not to look ahead to the Super Bowl since you know the opponent and you know it's for the championship. So we'll do it all when we get back right here in the post. Sixers fall by 10 to the Magic tonight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So, looking at Twitter during the break, and yes, that's the consensus. Number one, I don't care because they're hungover like the rest of us after the Eagles punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. And number two, they believe more in the Sixers team than, let's say, Malik does, based on what they've seen so far this season. So basically is, wait a minute, you lost? All right, we don't care. It's all good. Because of Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday. So, there's that. And Zach Pascal was the bell ringer at the Sixers game tonight. 610-632-0975. Yeah, again, I'm in on this team. I like this team when they made the moves in the offseason. I like what Daryl Morey and Elton Brand did. Nothing has changed for me. I do sometimes, of course, want a little bit more from Tucker offensively when the opportunities are there. I want to see the ball go through the net. And I don't see it enough because I do feel like sometimes he does miss some bunnies. And I'm like, yo, you got to make that. He timed it perfectly. Offensive rebound tip in along the baseline on Saturday against Denver. A perfectly timed one. And then he had the defense against Jokic there down the stretch. And overall in the second half, but he had a steal and another punch away where he made him turn a certain way. And Tobias Harris came out from behind and plucked him and also went the other way for another scoring opportunity. That was Saturday. And again, but it doesn't make me not like to buy PJ Tucker and what he does. I understand the value. Yeah, sometimes it can be a little frustrating, but I also want to see once again one more wing come in to be able to help out on the perimeter and do some things like be able to put the ball on the floor a little bit more, shoot the ball a little bit better than those three when I talk about House Jr. in it. And still be able to defend. He may not be as good as Thybul, but maybe as good as Daniel House, if not a tad bit better when we talk about that. Just my thoughts. And that's just, of course, I'm saying it to say that I think they have a bunch already. This guy might be able to put them over the top the same way they went out and got Bellinelli and Ilyasova and make a move for George Hill, whether they all worked out or not and how far they were able to get. That's my point. My purpose of that type of move is to add to the team maybe a someone else that's, you know, just a tad bit better for what they need at this point, knowing that you're going to be going into a stretch run. And then don't forget about that tough month of March. Tough month of March. 17 games, only 5 at home. Let's go to Southwest, check in with Lynn here in the post talking about the Sixers leaving the game. What's up, Lynn?
Yo, what's up, bro? No, I'm calling. I just want to talk about I was down at the game, man, on Sunday, bro.
Oh, man, yeah. I was there, too, and it was great.
Bro, it was amazing. And you know what, though? What I wanted to say was, just like it's funny with the Sixers losing tonight, man. When I was down there, man, it was just a certain amount of belief in the building, bro. And I think what's going on in the city, and I'm not going to make it a black thing, but it's a certain urban feel to this team. You know, and with everything that's going on in the city with all the violence and stuff, I think that everybody just want to believe in something positive, man. And the Eagles is really giving the city what they want to believe in right now. You know what I'm saying? We try to get behind the Sixers, but like, you know, always there's always something goofy, you know, early exits in the playoffs and all that kind of stuff. But I think the Eagles are really, 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 really giving, especially like what Jalen Hurts being the quarterback right now, man. It was just a beautiful thing, man. It was amazing, man. I mean, like, I bought my tickets to the game before we played the Giants. You know what I'm saying? That's how much belief I had in this situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing.
You bought the tickets for yesterday's game.
Yeah, for yesterday's
game. Okay.
Before we played the Giants. And everybody was like, what? And I was like, no, I'm doing it, man. I believe.
Absolutely.
Man.
You should have. Number one seed going against the number six seed. You should have.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but goofier things have happened in the playoffs, you know. But
yes.
It's just like when you see the Sixers, it's like, man, it's like everybody, we trying to rally behind, you know, Embiid, you know, we trying our best, but it's just like it's just a constant letdown, bro. It's just a constant letdown. So like, what the Eagles is doing, what they're doing, man, it's definitely gonna be a bigger spotlight. I don't know what the hell, you know, Doc Rivers be doing, man, you know, with the Maxi minutes and stuff like that tonight and all that, but I don't know, man. Sirianni got this boy looking real crazy, man.
Well, I think the advantage that Sirianni, obviously, 2 years, 2 playoff appearances, and now Super Bowl appearance, right. Obviously, you feel great about what he did. And it's right now. We don't know if Doc is finally going to get over that hump with this team in the spring. We don't know yet. And right now, again, they're 14 games over 500. From where they started, they were 12-12. Now they're 14 games over 500 with their record right now, even after tonight's loss at 32-17. That's not nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying 20 over the last 25 is pretty good.
Yeah. It's just, but I'm saying it just be like the small stuff. Like you do that with Denver, but then you come out with Atlanta. I mean, it's not.
You have letdown games sometimes.
Yeah. It's before the All Star break and everything. Yeah,
forget about the All Star break. Yesterday.
Yeah.
They were all at the game yesterday with you.
Maxie was there. I seen Maxie and James Harden. I didn't see everybody else.
And B was there. Tobias was there.
Is a belief, man, and you know, it's like, you know, it's only a sport, of course, man, but it's like people down there really, really just was down there like, yo, I need this, man, I need this energy, you know, and we're looking for it from the Sixers, man. I hope they can give it to us too, man.
Yeah.
At least gave it to us.
I think they will. I can't, especially again, after 5 years of not getting past the second round, I can't say that they are. I think they will this year because I have faith in them, and of course the health is a big part of that. But I think what they have, Lynn, and possibly what they could also add over the next couple of weeks with the trade deadline and the buyout, I do think they have it in them this year to do just what we're talking about.
All right, man. I'm going to trust you, Devon. Remember you told me.
Oh, Lynn, you know me. If I'm wrong, I'd be like, listen, here's what happened. You know, no excuses. No excuses.
Feeling good to me, bro. You be safe.
Oh, you too, man. Enjoy this run. Let's talk.
My Super Bowl prediction real quick.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going with 34-20.
34-20. I'm going to write these down right now. I got you and Malik in here. I'm going to write you down. 34-20. Locked it in. And Lynn, we'll talk maybe before the Super Bowl, but definitely after the Super Bowl.
You're right, brother. Hey, man. Be safe out in the meantime, bro.
You too, man. Really appreciate that. And I understand, again, right now, of course, the Eagles give you the faith. Number one, they went from week one to the playoffs front to back with the best record in the NFL. That helps out. And they have a look about them. They did. All year long, you're like, oh, wait a minute. All right, they're 6-0. They're that good. I knew they were this good over here in this side of things. No, they're that good. Meaning, hey, Buffalo and Kansas City, take a peek at what we're doing over here because we're coming for you in February. That's how good they are. That's how good they were early on in the season. We saw something there. Lock in the number one seed, you're good to go. Oh, Jalen, look at what A.J. Brown has done for this team. Hassan Reddick, James Bradbury, that's a great pickup there. Howie, we already gave you your praise, but my goodness, man. They're that good. They gave that to you all year long. The Sixers got off to a slow start. But honestly, if they went 12-12, and we're talking that's 24 games, if they went 20-4 and then lost two in a row, we would be getting the same reaction right now that we're getting after this loss tonight, in my opinion, to the Orlando Magic. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm looking at the other side of, again, as I always say, we can't fast forward to where we want to be. Not to the NBA Finals, meaning the start of the playoffs in April. We can't fast forward to that. So we got to play it out. We got to see how it goes. And 20 of the last 25 is pretty darn good, if you ask me in my book. It doesn't do anything for the playoffs right now. It doesn't, except for setting up your seeding. And if anything, it has helped us to understand it didn't help in 2021 and 21 playoffs when Ben didn't play the way he should have against Atlanta. But if anything, again, what we saw this past weekend for the Eagles, having a home game, having the top seed, helps you. The Sixers can make up for that if they get the number one seed again. And we may talk about 2021 and say, man, we could have had two. You got to get the first one first out of the way. You got to get that one out of the way first. Let's go to Stan in Drexel Hill in the post, talk about the Sixers and the Birds. What's up, Stan?
Hey, what's going on, Devon, man? It was a pleasure, my brother.
Always.
Yeah, you know, so as far as the Sixers go, I ain't going to lie, bro. I guess it's because I'm still on the off the high of the Eagles going to the Super Bowl.
You don't care.
You know, I don't care. they won seven in a row. A huge game against Denver, beat Ben Simmons in his return to Philly. Listen, of course you never want to lose, and I said this on Twitter to somebody.
And especially when you're up 21,
yeah,
you're like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No. Hey, let's get this out the way for anybody who's listening who's going to hear. Sixers should have won this game.
Absolutely.
They should have won this game. But the thing that I take solace in, and you don't want to look for moral victories, is the fact that this Orlando Magic team has actually beaten Boston twice.
Three times.
So
twice in Boston.
Twice in Boston. So the team in front of you that you're looking at, that everybody's picking to go to the finals, they had three times where they played down to the competition. You know, again, it's not excusing because you want to get every win that you can, but winning seven straight, you never want to lose to a bad team to end your streak. But it's one of those, you know, and then like I said, on top of that, the Eagles doing what they did, you're really having it. And I think that's what actually saved the Sixers a lot this season, where, you had a handful of people who would get upset when we were losing when we were 12-12 and, you know, the whole thing with Doc and everything. I get all that. But the Eagles playing as well as they did really let the Sixers kind of sneak in and kind of just play under the radar. And then, you know, as soon as this is over, more of those eyes, if not all of them, are going to be back on the Sixers to see what they do, which is fair, in my opinion. As far as the Eagles go, listen, I've been hearing a lot of people complaining about who did they play and blah, 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 blah. My issue with that is you got to play who's in front of you, right? Dallas played pretty much the same team that we played. We played the Jags. We beat them. They played the Jags. They choked. So it's like they played the Bucks game one. Y'all should have won that. I understand Dak got hurt, but y'all probably still could have won that game, but you didn't. So these are the things where it's like, had y'all won these games, nobody's going to say nothing to you if you're the number one seed. You want the easiest path. That's what happens when you get the number one seed, because everything comes through your stadium.
Yeah, you earn it. Yeah.
You know, you earn it. So when I hear people say that, I feel like that's goofy, because it's like, well, then tell your team to win those games then. I'm not trying to hear that. If your team is as good as you think they are, if you're telling me, well, if you played us, if that's the case, then y'all should win who's in front of you. Y'all should be the ones going 14-3. Y'all are the ones that are supposed to be going 15-2. Y'all are the ones supposed to be winning your division and then getting the number one seed in the NFC. That's not my fault. That's not our fault. And we're not going to sit there and say, no, you know what? We want to play you guys. We want to play the best. No, that's not how this works. We don't make the schedules. We play who's in front of us. Next year, the Eagles got a tough schedule. Now, if they go 14-3 again, what are we going to say? They didn't play anybody? Like, you got to stop doing that. And as far as the Brock Purdy thing goes and all their quarterbacks, they didn't slip on a banana peel and get hurt. They wasn't just some freak accident, twisted his ankle. No.
They got smacked.
Your quarterbacks out.
Right.
Dude, I heard somebody say, oh, it's not like y'all talking about y'all defense killing our offense. That's not what happened. Sir, did you not watch the game? Your O-line was struggling with Hassan Reddick and the boys. They got pressure on your quarterbacks, which got them hurt, which hurts your offense. So, yes, the defense hurts your offense. Like, I don't understand that. And then your man Bosa, he was in lockup because of Lane Johnson.
Yeah, that was fun to
watch. Lane Johnson out here acting like probation officer, not letting this man get to his quarterback. And I'm like, yo, y'all making every excuse in the book, and I get it. You know, like you said, I heard you say earlier, national media, all these people, they're coming at us, they don't like us. That's cool, that's fine. Yeah. I don't care no more.
You shouldn't.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go out there, we're going to win these games, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And then that's it. That's all. When you go down in history books, nobody's going to say, who did you play week seven? Then they're not going to ask that question. They're going to see Super Bowl 57, Eagles Super Bowl champs.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
All right, man. Take it easy, all right?
You too, man. Appreciate it as always. Yep. Good to hear from you, Stan. Be safe out there. And I'll say it one more time, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more, because, you know, once we get done here tonight and we start tomorrow after Inside the Birds at 8 o'clock, and we go until midnight, a four-hour run on Tuesday, there are going to be more shows, national, more stories, national, more tweets, national, that's going to really rile up the Philadelphia Eagle fan base here or wherever. And I don't want you guys to get caught up in that. I want you guys to watch and just enjoy what your team has done. Enjoy what you know you feel that they can do against this team. And there's so much time, so I know a lot of things are going to creep in. And all of that, don't worry about them. It's kind of like when we talk about these teams playing against the Philadelphia teams playing against others when we think they're better. Hey, guys, you know what? As we break down all this stuff about a certain team that they're playing, when in the end we're saying the team here is so good, if they lose, of course you give credit to the opponent because they have a job to do. Also, they put on their uniforms just like you do, lace up their sneakers or cleats or skates. But we always say we think the team is so good. You did what you did to lose that game. A lot of that was self-inflicted. That's what we look at. That's what we look at. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying. Forget them. You know what you saw. You know you've seen this before. There have been other teams that have lost their quarterbacks or their key offensive or defensive players where the fan bases are saying, hey, we'll take it. I said this earlier, and Tom, jump in here. Good evening, man. When we talk about the 2008 World Series, it's not my fault that New York and Boston weren't there to gauge the Phillies up against them. It's not my fault. Tampa Bay, great job. You know what I'm saying? I remember the World Series. I remember that they played Tampa, and I remember that they beat Tampa. And I remember Tampa beat the other teams to get to where they were. It's not my fault. I don't care for.
You win it all. No one cares. No one looks back, and no one should.
You know what you show them when they say something? Here you go. Here you go. Here's my trophy.
That's a bad trophy.
How you like that?
That's a red pen.
It's a red pen.
Not a great trophy. Kawhi Leonard, Toronto Raptors win with what? Two injuries to two key players for the Golden State Warriors 5 years ago, whatever it is.
Kevin Durant.
Sorry to bring that team up to people out there. My apologies. But regardless, like, no, it doesn't matter. If you win it all, no one cares about the road. No one cares about how you got there. All they remember is the trophy, is the ring, and that's all it comes down to. So I don't care about this national media. I don't care about these Cowboys fans on Twitter. I don't care about these haters on Twitter. Yeah. I don't care about any of them because we have one loss with Jalen Hurts as our starting quarterback this year, and we are going to the Super Bowl again here in Philadelphia, and we have two first-round picks next year. To go along with it. So I don't care about any of that because our
10
team,
and 31 or 10
and
31,
yep. Our team is set up for the now, obviously, and set up for the future as well. So I don't care about any of that outside noise at all.
No, doesn't bother me. Now, we're different, and we take the phone calls, and we engage on Twitter and all that stuff. I do not care. Guess what? You know what I'm excited about? The fact that they have another opportunity to take two in 5 years. Two in 5 years. There are people that, yeah, still complaining about the win over New England. This, that, and the other, and that one. Well, if they did it this way, then that would have won. That's sports. We all talk about, well, what if, and should have, could have, would have. I have a great one that my cousin presented to me that we might use as a side topic one day, basketball related. And it's a what if thing that I thought was a pretty good question. And we might use it for that reason, but I can't worry about that. You know what I worry about? How are they going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs?
Did the Eagles get any sympathy when Carson Wentz was hit dirty by Jadeveon Clowney in that playoff game and Josh McCown had to come in with what? He had some kind of injury. I forget what it was off the top of my head. But did we hear any sympathy?
None.
Did you hear any backlash of the Seattle Seahawks after that?
Same when Carolina speared Donovan McNabb in the pocket and he had to play out through that game and he couldn't throw the football, he couldn't run the football, couldn't do anything. Guess what? It was like, dang. I wish they would have called that flag because it was a dirty hit. In this case with Brock Purdy, it wasn't a dirty hit. You lined up the wrong guy to block the hottest defensive player in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what you get for putting a backup tight end to block defensive player of the year, potentially.
What are you doing? You don't do that. That's on your coach. That has nothing to do with the Eagles. And before we go to break, John Krupp, longtime beloved figure here with the Phillies.
Everybody loves John Krupp.
John Krupp says on Twitter, did you see this?
I think I skimmed it during the game, yeah.
He said, wait a minute. The Eagles win, and now they had the easiest path. He said, well, wait a minute. No one told the Minnesota Vikings to lose to the Giants, and no one paid Brock Purdy to leave the game on Sunday in order to advance to the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. No one told them to do that. That's part of the sport. That's what happens. You think the Miami Marlins care when they, you know, the fans, oh, we snuck in there and got, now they wanted to continue and make a dynasty possibly because they kept winning like every 3 years, it seemed like. But you think they cared? No. You win and you just go with it. If the path is easy, all right, I would have liked to have seen Brock Purdy, all that stuff, healthy, and the Eagles beat them. There would have still been excuses. The referees, the false starts where the people don't recognize the Lane Johnson, the kickstart that Jason Peters really started that you get off the snap right away. And don't you think if it was illegal, they would have been started calling that? They've been doing this for years.
Lane does it every play. Every pass play.
Jordan Mailata does it.
And there's no flag.
Jason Peters basically taught them this. And Jeff Stoutland says, yeah, keep doing it. It's not illegal. Yes, all of these things would go against them, but guess what? It happens. It's sports. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you would have won it in the bubble, would you care? People talk about the Lakers a little bit. You might not, but others would be like, I'll take the championship. I'll take it. They continued the season. The Flyers, if they would have won as the number one seed, would have been like, all right, cool. They weren't supposed to be there. Got it done. We'll take it. Stop worrying about what they say. You're going to get 2 weeks of what they say. It's going to drive you nuts. It's going to add to the boiling of how you feel. By the time we get there, people's heads are going to explode. By the time we get to February 12th. Think about that. It's still January. We're talking about February 12th. People are going to lose their minds.
It's a long 2 weeks, regardless of who's playing in the Super Bowl, let alone when it's your team favorited to win in the Super Bowl.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to our final segment here. We'll get leftovers with Tom at 11:45. Sixers fall tonight by 10, snapping their seven-game winning streak, 119-109. Big win on Saturday. That doesn't take anything away from that's my favorite Joel Embiid game of all time now, surpassing my 2017 Lakers win. Where he had 46 and 15. I thought he was phenomenal in that game. I understand he had 59 this year. But boy, Saturday, opponent, stage, deficit at the half. All that was involved, he was tremendous. And that was my favorite performance on Saturday. We'll come back. We'll get to the final segment right here on this Football Monday on the Fanatic, which is presented by Pierce Phelps. Whatever it takes, go to nopaybryant.com.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, final segment here on this Football Monday. Monday night following the Sixers game here in the post. Sixers fall by 10, 119-109. The Birds headed to the Super Bowl after a 31-7 win over the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. The final game at home this season. And I don't think anybody has a problem with that simply because of the mere fact that they are going to the bowl. And we'll see how it goes there in general. I was looking at Stan, who just called, sent me something on Twitter, and it was one of his tweets that he put out there a little while ago. Says, you think the Falcons fans coming off a Super Bowl appearance the year prior and the Vikings fans didn't think they were going to beat our backup quarterback in 17-18? Nothing but excuses. And that's what it is. There are excuses. A friend, we had a group chat from a few of my high school friends, and they were just talking about the game in general, and said that why do you think one of my guys asked, why do you think when we talked about the awards and the Eagles players are not in among the finalists. Sirianni, Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick, specifically, when we talk about those guys not being involved in those award-winning things there around the NFL. And I just simply said excuses, because there are none. No real reason why they are not in those, especially when you have the best record in the NFL. You should be more well-represented than what they are right now in these award categories. Jalen Hurts is among the finalists for the quarterbacks and the MVP in general. But he's not going to win. Okay, but he's in there. He's not going to win. We know why. He missed those two games. That's going to be a problem. And that was an opportunity for him to show why he should have been going against the guy who's probably going to win the award. Nick Sirianni, while Andy Reid is not among the finalists, when you have an undefeated, when you have a team that has the best record and you were 9-8 a season ago, made the adjustments that you have made to be a full head coach instead of an offensive coordinator, to oversee the entire program of what you have going on, of course you should be recognized for that. If Sean McVay was 14-3, he would be a finalist, like the top three, not where we are questioning some of the others had it, 3 versus 5 of the finalists. And if he's not in the top three, he should be. Hassan Reddick should be in there too, with Parsons and Bosa. He should be in there. He really should. He's not. Brandon Graham, same thing for comeback player of the year. Now go out there and just do your thing and let all that speak for itself. Let it all speak for itself. Really, let it all speak for itself. Because that's how you have to do it. That's how I learned to just not care and not give a bleep of what they say when it comes to the teams here locally. I'm very honest with you. And yes, I see things and I'm like, all right, let me shake my head. This is ridiculous. But I don't let it really take over me like a lot of Philadelphia fans do, because I've conditioned myself to just not care, because it's not going to stop. Why am I going to keep getting worked up about that? I can't allow myself to do that. I can't. So, folks, I'm telling you, for your own well-being for these 2 weeks, try your hardest not to focus on that stuff, because it will drive you insane. Drive you insane.
I think it's a natural feeling for people to want to defend the things they love, right?
Sure.
People are talking bad about your family, about your friends. You want to defend them. Of course, I get it. But when it's over and over again, and when we live in the world that is the hot take type world that we live in, and content type world that we live in, and everyone's opinion is available, which maybe it shouldn't be that way, but it is, and it's a good thing and a bad thing. You can't overreact to this negative stuff that is said about all the Philly teams and all the Philly players, whether it's Joel Embiid, whether it's Bryce Harper, whether it's the Phillies as a whole, the Eagles as a whole. Yes, you can look at it, you can take it in, you can talk about it with your friends, you can make fun of it, all that stuff. But when people overreact to it and try and make it a bigger thing than it actually is, that's what we need to just say. Let's slow our rolls a little bit. No one cares what Chris Sims thinks. You know what I mean? Like, it just comes down. And you shouldn't. You
now,
shouldn't
those certain Sims. Ones like that where you have a target on that guy, I kind of understand it, because it's just like, all right, this is ridiculous. Even I can't ignore that one. Just to see what he says and then shake my head and just move on. Because some of them are just over the top ridiculous.
You're more angry about them continuing to get a spotlight and a voice. Like the Orlando Scandrick stuff from back in the day. That drove me crazy. And rightfully so, because the dude was here.
And then
you're a snake. And then you get cut. And then you're calling out your team because you're an ex-Cowboy. Like, I can't stand that stuff. It's when they get the constant voices heard and the stuff's coming out again and again every couple months. That's what's annoying. Again, I'm not telling you to not be annoyed about it. I get annoyed about it too. But I don't think we need to overreact too much about what the national media says and what we see on Twitter.
Before we get to Jeremy, did he say anything, Sims?
Not yet, no. I haven't heard from him yet. We're looking.
He has to do his show or his podcast, so he has to say something, because he's a football analyst. He has to say something.
He's going
to
say, look what Jalen Hurts did in that game and look how bad they destroyed the 49ers. That's what he's going to say. He's going to twist this to make it
seem... Or he didn't have a good game and look what they
did. Yeah, exactly. So he's going to twist this... to help his argument, if you will.
He's going to twist himself into a pretzel.
Yes, he is. Philly pretzel.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. For that, because Jalen called some people out yesterday on that stage. And I was like, go for it. Have at it, my man. Even the ones here, us, because I was one of them. Call us all out. Call us out. I'm okay with that. Call us out. Because guess what you just did? What a lot of people didn't think you would. And you still have one more to go. But he had every right to do what he did. And I hope, you know, they have all of the stuff of what everybody said. If they win, especially about him, oh, please.
Walk out to post game with a Chris Sims jersey on.
And Chris Sims isn't an analyst. He has to be at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah. I would love for him to request in with the PR, Eagles PR, can I interview Jalen Hurts? They'd be like, no.
We're good, thanks.
We're good. Or do it, call him on his stuff, and just hope that NBC doesn't edit it out. Just give it all.
There's no shot. That's
there's no shot. No shot at all. Let's go to North Philly with Jeremy here, talk a little about the Super Bowl on 97.5. Jeremy, how you doing?
Devon, what's going on, my man?
What's happening, man?
Yo, so a couple quick birds points. We are one win away from calling this a dynasty. Built solely on owner and GM.
One meaning this one in a couple of weeks. Two and five years is not a dynasty.
And they made the playoffs four out of those 5 years.
Yeah, but I think when you win when you're a dynasty, it's really about the championships when you do get to the playoffs.
2 and 5 years.
Yeah, I would say if you said 3 and 5, maybe. No, 3 and 5, yes. 2 and 5, I wouldn't say a dynasty yet.
Okay.
That's me. That's me.
Fair enough. But that's the first one. Second one, Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce is now officially the best
pair athlete brothers
ever in history.
Man.
They're both first ballot Hall of Famers, arguably the best ever at their position.
Yep.
Best pair of athlete brothers ever. And second of all, we're coming up on another two-score win.
Okay, I'm jotting these down already. So what do you have?
I'm telling you, man, two-score win. Another 30 point. I'm 32-20.
Okay,
32-20, 32-21, maybe.
All right, I'll put you down for 30-20. That's two scores. That's fine. Okay, I got you. I got you down. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun.
What Howie's done is insane. Two times in 5 years, he put together the perfect roster. Perfect. No flaws.
Not on this one, for sure.
Not on 2017, either.
I have my concerns at the cornerback position. I will be honest about that. I have my concerns about the cornerback position. I wasn't thrilled with Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby as the season went along. But for the most part, you're right. I even like the linebackers at that point.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman, the best GM this town has ever seen, probably. And a couple months ago, everyone was ready to throw him to the Wolves.
I was.
Yep.
I was. Yep.
Best GM we've ever seen. And I don't think we can
argue
that.
Tough for me to argue that one right now. I'm not looking for one, but as you say it, I start to think about it. Because you've had some really good ones from Pat Gillick, what he did putting those teams together. It wasn't his fault that they didn't win. He put those teams together.
But how he put together the one that win?
I'm not saying that. He won one, just like Pat Gillick did. And
yeah.
That would right now be my only argument there, because we would have to see. But Ruben Amaro was a part of that. Ed Wade put together those guys. But yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Listen, I don't want to argue against you, because the guy's been so good. Mm-hmm. I don't want to argue against you.
And when we win in 2 weeks, there's not going to be any argument. It won't even be, you know.
What could we say? Listen, Jay, thanks, man. Have a great night. I'm sure I'll talk to you before the bowl. Thanks, man.
Yep.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, you got any? I said
we got
Gillick,
a long 2 weeks to the Super Bowl.
I know.
So I don't want to.
Since you brought it up, I'm just, Gillick is the only one that I can think of.
Because top of my head.
Because they won in 08, and then they put together the squad that they put together with the pitchers, and then adding to the lineup. So they won 106, was it? 108?
I forget off the top of my head.
Yeah, but Pat would kill me for this one. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the leftovers. It's 11:46. We have plenty of time to talk about that. We'll do so, but first we have leftovers.
Yeah, that could be, you know, potential topics down the road, whether it's in the next 2 weeks, whether it's a month from now.
We got to see. If he wins or loses, then we'll have our answer.
So, leftovers. We are going to start with a familiar face. Brock Purdy. You may know him. Those out there listening, coming off the 31-7 loss to the Eagles in the NFC Championship, he suffered an elbow injury on the first possession of the game after Hassan Reddick's sack, completed 4 passes for 23 yards total, just 2 after the injury. He is believed to have suffered a torn UCL in his throwing elbow. This is a 6-month recovery without surgery. If he gets surgery, it is the Tommy John surgery that we all hate to hear about.
But with today's technology, we know it's not that big of a
deal. Yeah, correct. But it's going to set him back a little bit, and he's planning on getting a second opinion. Had to come back in after the game because Josh Johnson gets the concussion after another sack. So, two things. Thoughts on the second opinion and what he should do with his elbow, and who is the 49ers starting quarterback next year right now for you?
He's not on the roster. I'll answer that first.
Okay.
I don't think he's on the roster. I don't think he's on the roster.
Does he wear number 12?
Possibly. Because that Jets thing seems like it's real, too. Is it 2 years where a team is going to hire Heck and they don't get the quarterback?
That would be bad.
All right. As far as the second opinion, I have a second opinion. And if he needs it, he can come to my good friend Tom in Philadelphia on 97.5 The Fanatic. And give that second opinion of if he should get surgery or not. Tom in Philadelphia, what say you?
Get the surgery, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep. Don't prolong it.
What are you doing?
I know. Get it right now. Like tomorrow.
Get it done. What are you doing? First of all, you're Brock Purdy.
I'm not. He is.
You're not an Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
Get the surgery done. You're not going to be back in time to compete for the job in the fall. You're not. In the summer. You're not. Get it done. What are you doing? And if you don't get it done and you prolong it, it's just going to add to it to your point of, let me go get number 12. To challenge Trey Lance. To see if he has it because Garoppolo is not coming back.
Nah, he was smiling on the sidelines yesterday.
That was ridiculous.
He's not coming back.
Now look, there are things that happen that just make you laugh or smile and you just happen to get caught on camera. But... It's not a good look.
Not a good look. We're going to stick in the NFL.
Surgery.
This kind of went really under the radar last night, obviously, with everything going on. The Chargers are getting a new offensive coordinator.
I didn't see that till today.
Hiring former Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, 33 years old, who literally during the postgame show, I said to Connor, I was like, oh, Kellen Moore.
And that's when I found out about it. When you said it, I was like, what?
Really under the radar. Moore and the Cowboys mutually parted ways last night. Chargers fired their OC Joe Lombardi just a couple weeks ago. Kellen Moore in 4 seasons with the Cowboys, the offense was top 4 in points per game, yards per game, and third down percentage. He's gone from Dak Prescott to Justin Herbert. Smart move for Kellen Moore.
Genius.
Yeah.
I don't care who the head coach is. For what he has to do, for what the quarterback talent is, genius. He's better than Lombardi, Kellen Moore. As the offensive coordinator.
He was getting head coaching job looks a couple
last
years ago.
Last year.
Was it last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's better than Lombardi. He's going to a better quarterback. So he left there.
Much better quarterback.
Much better. He's left there. I saw Cowboy fans like, good. Good riddance. What took so long? Is it him or the quarterback?
Yeah, bro, blame your quarterback who was awful this year.
Are you kidding me? Good for Kellen. Look.
Short memories, man.
I like Kellen Moore. He did nothing to us. I mean, look, it is what it is. It was a division rival, and he did some good stuff. That's a good place for him to land.
Yeah.
Very good place
Could
for him
save
to land.
Brandon Staley his job, potentially.
Very, very good point.
Potentially. Going to move over to baseball. MLB The Show 23 announced its cover art and cover personality. Today, a bit of a surprise, it was Marlins center fielder Jazz Chisholm.
Wow.
So not Ohtani, who was on it the past 5 years. Ohtani, Tatis, Javi Baez, Bryce Harper, and Aaron Judge. Only 60 games played last season, batted .254, 14 homers, 12 stolen bases, had a stress fracture in his back. Surprised by the pick there.
I am.
He's a fun player, blue hair, he's got the chains. I get it.
So were they going with that than what the production was this time?
Because and he has a ton of potential. He does. He's superstar potential.
There are many others that they could have gone in that direction and given it to him maybe a year later.
Yes.
Versus right now where
Julio Rodriguez, home run derby, what, semifinalist, finalist, champion,
correct.
I forget. It was like a 30-30 season in Seattle.
That's a little odd.
Yeah, very odd. And last one real quick. Anthony Edwards recently said on an interview with GQ Sports that he eats 21 bags of Cheetos hot fries a week. Three per day.
Not surprised.
I love Anthony Edwards.
21?
22, I think, maybe.
That's what the hot... Not, you know, because of the hot shit. That's the hot thing over the last, like, 3-4 years.
Pun intended.
Thank you. I don't like them. I think they're nasty. And I'm a hot chip enthusiast. Those are nasty to me. And I like Cheetos. The regular Cheetos.
Yeah.
These are nasty to me. But that's his generation. That's what they like.
How long till that holds up?
24.
Okay. In a couple of years, and then he's like, all right, yeah, I got to get it together.
Towns was already calling him out because of his eating habits. It's like, first of all, Towns, settle down.
Yeah, dude.
I understand it's your franchise, but he took that over. And a local guy, all that stuff, but come on.
And those are nice leftovers.
Thank you, man. Good stuff. Great stuff for everybody. Appreciate it. You and Ray, great job. Callers, listeners, tweeters. I saw this thing from Mark Stein, huh? Matisse Thybul, Sacramento peaking.
Talk about that a little more, maybe.
Oh, talk about that. Tom, you, all the callers, have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow at 8. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.